Rose come up and just introduce our family and read some passages, and then I will do the preaching from the Word.
Good morning. It's great to be back again. We're thankful for a second chance to come back here to Great Faith Chinese Church. Great job, Orlando and Barrett. Thanks for leading us in worship this morning. Rose and Jeff, we have three kids. They're 28, 26, and 21, and they all grew up in Western China when we were sent out in 1997. We had a little one-year-old baby, and with the International Mission Board, we were delighted to reach out to an unreached people group, actually the Tibetan peoples. And we've been here in Richmond the last few years, working together with Pastor Carter at the headquarters office and attending, and members of Living Hope Church, RVA. If you have your Bibles, or if you want to tap on your phone, we're going to look at four passages that Jeff will preach on. The first passage comes out of Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 24. And Paul's plans to come to Rome, Paul writes in verse 24, "I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while." We're going to look at Romans 15, verse 30 also. It writes, "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." Turn ahead if you look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. And we read, "In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Our third passage comes from Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And stay with me. I'm going to read verses 10 through 18. From Philippians chapter 4. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." And finally, we'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith.
Okay, thank you. All right, so our theme today is mobilizing the church to support missions and missionaries around the world. And as Rose shared and Pastor Carter shared, we're missionaries. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're missionaries, and we've been missionaries for, this is our 28th year as Baptist missionaries with the Southern Baptist International Mission Board. Have any of you been to this church before, First Baptist Church? Have you been to this church before? Raise your hand if you've been here before. Is this your first time? Many of you have been here before? Okay. Well, this church, you may not know, but on the English side, the English service of the bigger part of the church up front, this church is the church where Lottie Moon, she was an old, well, she was young when she went out, but she was out in the mission field for 40 years in China, serving as a missionary with this International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist. She's real famous amongst Southern Baptist churches, and we actually have a special Christmas fund called the Lottie Moon Christmas Fund. Her Chinese name is Mu La Di, and so she was a missionary. So this church has some great history of supporting missionaries around that go all around the world. So today we're going to look at some different passages. I'm not going to read all those verses, but we're going to look at some passages that talk about how churches can help missionaries do the work. And it's a partnership. It's not just missionaries go out. The church needs to do their part in helping the missionaries go around the world. So many of you probably have heard of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. The Pearl Harbor attack, that was when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii and blew up a lot of our ships. And that day, it says, that day will the president said, that day will live in infamy. It'll be a famous day to always remember. In an unprovoked move, the Japanese attacked the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor. The assault was by hundreds of Japanese aircraft. It was a surprise. It was actually on a Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, like now. They attacked Pearl Harbor. And it says that they killed over 2,400 sailors and Air Force guys or military guys that fly planes, American lives, and left over more than 1,000 wounded just in that one attack. And the Japanese Admiral Yamamoto wrote in his diary, referring to this day, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve." And that sleeping giant, he was talking about the United States. Up until that time, World War I, we just did a little bit. We got in there kind of late. World War II, the Nazis, the Japanese were taking over many lands. We got into that war kind of late. And it was Pearl Harbor that got us motivated to join World War II. And it says, Admiral Yamamoto said, "I fear all we've done is awaken a sleeping giant and filled that giant with terrible resolve." And he was right. Right after Pearl Harbor, the president came on, motivated all of America to mobilize and to get involved in World War II. And that once we got involved in World War II, that tipped the favor to the Allies, the British, the Russians, the ones that we were partnering with, and the Allied forces eventually beat the Axis powers, Japan, Italy, and Germany, and then the Allies eventually won that war. But if America didn't enter that war, there's a good chance the British and French and those might have lost. But what I want to talk about today about this Pearl Harbor attack is how, because of that attack, with this resolve of the Americans to really mobilize and help fight that war and to win that war, what did they do? Right after that happened, Pearl Harbor, there was an enrollment in the draft. Lots of Americans wanted to go and fight. They signed up to go and fight. And then we actually mandated that if you were a certain age, you had to register and you had to join and fight. So we mobilized over 10 million men were inducted to the Army, Navy, and the Marines in World War II. Women started getting involved. You might have saw that. I like this picture because my wife's name is Rose. Sometimes I call her Rosie. So there's the American version of Rosie in World War II. Rosie the Riveter. You might have not. Maybe you've seen this picture. The old guys all know. All the old timers from America know this picture. We can do it. Women got motivated, and they were helping, working in the industries and factories, producing airplanes, munition, bullets, tanks. They were on the line helping with the men build all these things so we could be a part of the war. Automotive plants, just making cars, they switched and started making Jeeps and tanks. The airplane manufacturer companies, plants, instead of just making nice, you know, jetliners to carry passengers on, they produced 296,000 warplanes, you know, helping us to have one of the largest air forces in the world at that time. During that time, we produced 86,000 tanks, 64,000 landing ships, 6,000 Navy vessels, millions of guns, billions of bullets, hundreds of thousands of trucks and Jeeps. And it says U.S. production alone exceeded the combined production of all the Allies. So what Germany and Japan and Italy were producing, we outproduced all of them, just one country. So we were mobilized, ready to fight a war and win it. It says the federal budget for military in 1939 was $9 billion. By 1945, it was $95 billion, a tenfold increase. And then they also did rationing. People, you know, had ration cards, you couldn't just buy all this. People were building victory gardens, had a little garden in their backyard with vegetables and stuff so they could help, you know, America. And all this was a part to mobilize the United States. So why am I talking about all this? I mean, this is about war, you know, a war, World War II years ago, 1940s and 30s. Well, we're in a spiritual war. And some of us don't realize that, but Satan is alive and well on the planet Earth. And he's causing chaos, and there's lots of casualties. Millions of people are going to hell. They don't know the gospel. All around our world, we're in a war. And sometimes we as Christians don't realize we're in a war. And so we need to mobilize the church. That's one of the reasons I'm here today. That's one of the reasons I chose this topic. I'm actually going to share this sermon in Chinese at our Chinese church. Actually, I don't know if I'm seeing it. I'll share it at our church in English. But I'm sharing it in June at a church in Michigan that we are a part of. It's a Chinese church. So this is my first time to preach this sermon in English. And eventually, in June, I'll be preaching this in Mandarin Chinese. So, 可以说普通话. So, 这个六月份我可以教到这个内容用中文. But 今天我用英文. Today, I'm just using English. But yeah, so the Apostle Paul, we're going to look at Paul in the book of Romans. So if you have your Bible, Rose already read this verse, but we're going to look in Romans chapter 15, verse 24. We're going to look at this verse. So if you have your Bible or your phone, turn to it. Well, we're going to look at this verse and look at the different parts of this verse. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, and he had that, you know, huge transformation and how God brought him to Christ, and he actually heard Christ's voice, and then he got right with God and started serving Jesus. He realized we are in a spiritual war, and he preached the gospel, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And he had a vision from God to motivate the early church to be involved in preaching about Jesus all around the region. So he was mobilizing the church, and that's what Rose and I want to do, and many of us IMB missionaries. We have 47,000, you're one of 47,000 Southern Baptist churches in the United States. I think we have about 280 Chinese Southern Baptist churches. Does that sound right? Oh, man, we've grown. That's great. We have 350 Chinese Southern Baptist churches. Korean churches, it's like 800 plus, right? 880. Rose is Korean. Everybody thinks she's Chinese because we visit Chinese churches, and she kind of looks Chinese, but she's Korean. But we have about 880 Korean-American Southern Baptist churches. And then we have a lot of African-American and Hispanic-American, and then a lot of, you know, white Caucasian churches. But 47,000 churches. And we're trying to get these churches mobilized so they can help us do missions. And Paul was doing that with the churches that he was writing. So this is a letter. Rose, As Rose read earlier, Romans is a letter, and Paul was writing to the church in Rome about what's going on. And this is in chapter 15. He says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So we're going to look at three parts of this verse, and then we got a few other verses we're going to touch on this morning. So hope. First of all, Paul saw hope in as he said, stated here, I hope to see you. And it says, I love this statement. It was Paul's intent, his strategy, to see other Christians and work with other churches as he was going about his mission work to take the gospel to lots of different areas in that time. And he said, and in this statement, he personalized that statement. He was warm. He said, I hope to see you. You know, I long to see you. This is the church in Rome. He wants to see them. It says, as he's passing on to go to Spain. So his destination wasn't Rome, but he was going through Rome to head off to Spain, and he was going to visit the church while he's there. He said, I hope to see you. He's writing a letter to the church and says, I hope to see you. And then the next passage, and then in chapter 16, Paul really loved the church and worked with lots of different Christians in doing his mission work. And the next chapter, you don't have to read it right now. We're not going to read it right now for time's sake. But Romans chapter 16, he lists 27 people, real difficult names. That's one of the reasons I'm not reading it, because I can't pronounce all those Greek and, you know, Jewish names from of old. But a lot of different names. 27 names he lists in Romans chapter 16 of different people who helped him in his ministry when he was doing going all these different places. He was, you know, Priscilla, Aquila, he lists them. I mean, there's just a bunch. 27 different people were friends and co-workers of Paul as he did his ministry. As missionaries, we don't want to work alone. We want to work with the church. We want to partner with the church, partner with fellow Christians. Rose and I have spoke at a lot of churches. Rose, what are some of the states that we spoke at over the last 3 years? What are some states? Do you remember?
Michigan, Arizona, Washington, Colorado, Oregon, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia.
Yeah, don't forget Virginia. Yeah. So we've spoken at a lot of different states. We go to state convention meetings. Where a state brings in like hundreds of churches from their state. We were in Washington State last year in the Seattle area, and there were about 400 churches represented from all over. Believe it or not, we got Southern Baptist churches in Seattle and Portland, Oregon, and all those areas, and they all came together. Northern Idaho, churches coming from Northern Idaho, and we were sharing and talking about missions and trying to mobilize them to be a part of what the IMB is doing. And we hope to see them. We love people too. Rose and I love people. We love fellow Christians who have a heart for missions, and we try to mobilize them and share with them how they can be a part. And a lot of these churches and people we go and talk to, they get mobilized. They get excited and want to join the work and help do the work of spread the gospel around the world as well as within their own state and their own community. So that's one of Paul's desires here, is that he wanted to help the church to get mobilized, and he loved them and wanted to see them. And so that's the first one. So Paul said he hoped to see the Romans, the church in Rome. He had not been to Rome, yet he felt strongly the need and desire to see them personally face to face. He wanted to impart blessings to them and receive encouragement from them. So it's a two-way street. He wanted to encourage them, and he wanted them to encourage him. Doing mission work, speaking at all these conferences and places, sometimes you get tired out, you get worn out, you get spiritual attacks from Satan. It's a tough, being a missionary is not easy. It's not easy. We leave home, we miss weddings, we miss funerals, we miss, you know, we're out in a new country eating strange things that we've never eaten before. And like in America, like I like a hamburger or a hot dog. I go to China, I eat, what are some strange things I've eaten in China? Bee larvae, that some of the minority people, Shaoxu Minzu, Henshiwanchu, bee larvae. But most Chinese food I love, but yeah, still though, you go to some places, it's strange food. Chinese food wasn't strange. I like Chinese food. But yeah, so that was his hope, to receive encouragement from them and also give them encouragement. So hope to see you. The second part of this passage I like says, Paul said, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. Paul had a destination. God, through the Holy Spirit, told him to go to Spain to preach the gospel. The gospel hadn't went to Spain yet. So Paul had a point he was shooting for, somewhere he was aiming for, and he was going to Spain. And so he was going to stop in Rome, see the church, be encouraged by them, encourage them. But then his destination was Spain. He was going to go to Spain. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit was his navigator, telling him where to go. And in modern terms today, we would call going to Spain at this time, again, no Christians, no church there. There weren't any missionaries going to Spain in those days. The church was just beginning. The Christian church started during this time. As in Acts, the book of Acts, those were some of the first missionary journeys were happening. And Paul was a big part of those journeys. And so he was wanting to go to Spain. We would say today he was wanting to go to an unengaged, unreached people group that hadn't heard the gospel, that hadn't heard about Jesus dying and rising from the dead, all what's going on in the early New Testament. They hadn't heard that. They didn't know the stories of Jesus. And so we have places like that today. We still have, in the 21st century, around 3,000 unengaged, unreached people groups. Rose, what is an unengaged, unreached people group?
No gospel access, no churches, no Christian believers.
Yeah.
No one reaching out to them.
Yeah, what does it stand for, the acronym? Yeah, unengaged, unreached people group. We still have 3,000 of those groups all around. Originally, Pastor Carter said Rose and Jeff and Rose would be sharing today, so now I'm making sure Rose gets her part in helping me share. But yeah, so we still have 3,000 unengaged, unreached people groups around the world today. And actually, China, who's from China? Raise your hand if you're from mainland China. If you were born and raised in mainland China. Mainland China has about 400 unengaged, unreached people groups. A lot of these Shaoshu Minzu, you know, China has Wuxia Liu, Shaoshu Minzu has 56 minority groups. A lot of those groups have subgroups, the Yizu, the Nashizu, the
Zangzu,
the Tibetans. A lot of these groups are still unengaged and unreached with the gospel. They don't have churches, they don't have Christians going to help them. So we need to be able to go out there and help them. And that was Paul's vision. He was set ahead a heading, and he was heading that way. But on the way, he was going to stop at the church, encourage them, they'd encourage him, and then he was going on to this unengaged, unreached people group in Spain. And there's a lot of Christians in Spain now. I mean, a lot of them are Catholics, but still, the church is there. And so our setting is important. Where we're headed is important. Rose and I, we've had a vision for China and Chinese people. Who here, raise your hand if you're a Chinese person or half Chinese, right? Most of you. Rose is Korean. Yeah, some people are mixed. But we've had it. God's given us a burden, Fudan. He's given us a burden to share the gospel with the people of China, the Chinese people around the world. We've actually been blacklisted. I don't know if you know what blacklisted is, but we cannot get a visa, even a tourist visa, to go to China, because Xi Jinping found out we're missionaries, and there's no missionaries allowed in China. And so, I don't know if Xi found out, but the local police found out. So he probably doesn't know us or any at all, but he made a rule the other night, hey, we don't want foreign missionaries coming into China, communist China. And so the police found out, and so we got on a list. So I can't even go to China as a tourist. I lived there 20 years. God called me to help the Chinese people, the Shaoshu Minzu, the minorities. I can't even go there anymore. I can't reach that unengaged, unreached people group. So now many Chinese people, you guys need to do that. You need to take the gospel to your own country and to your own people, and especially those unengaged, unreached people groups that are all over China. But we can't do that. But because we can't do that, God still hasn't taken that burden from us. So now we're going to Singapore. Right now we're in Richmond, Virginia. But in September, the IMB, the International Mission Board, is sending us to Singapore, which is Baifengjie Qishuwu, 75% Chinese. So we will reach the Chinese of Singapore. And there are some churches there, 18%, Baifengjie Shiba are Jidutu. There's about 18% are Christians. So we're going to work with those Singaporean Christians and mobilize them to reach the lost and to reach the unengaged, unreached people groups in Asia, as well as we'll be training missional leaders at the Baptist Seminary. As Pastor Carter said, Miss Rose and I both got our PhDs last spring. So we're going to use our doctorates not to make money. We're not going to make any money, actually. As IMB missionaries, we get our little salary. We can't work extra jobs. But we're going to teach at the Baptist Seminary for free. But we can teach. And we just found out this week that Rose is actually going to be teaching mainland Chinese students at the seminary. So we just found out. There's a lot of mainland Chinese that go to Singapore, because in Singapore they speak Mandarin, Putonghua, Guoyu, and they speak English. And so some students are coming. Rose will be teaching them, and I'll help her. But yeah, we're excited. We can still work with that people group, have that focus that God has given us to help Chinese. We're doing it here today. We do it at our church in Richmond, and we're going to do it in Singapore. So God doesn't take that burden from us to help the Chinese people. And not just we preach the gospel to the lost, but mobilize the Christians to be more active in sharing the gospel with your own people and other people. So that's what Paul did, and that's what Rose and I are doing. So we had a heading, and we're going to do that. On the last part of this verse in Romans chapter 15:24 is this section, and it says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, this is Paul, and to be helped on my journey there by you. So Paul was expecting, he wrote in this letter to the church in Rome, you know, I'm going to stop by and see you guys on my way to Spain to reach this unengaged, unreached people group, and I'm hoping you'll help me on my journey, my mission trip, there by you. So he was expecting them to help him. And what were some of the ways he was looking for help? Sometimes we think of financial help, but look at chapter 15, verse 30, just a few verses down. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. So now, Paul was not just talking about, a lot of people in the church, you know, missionaries come and we always say, hey, give us some money, help us with our financial needs, you know. Because without money, we can't travel to Asia. Without money, we can't buy food. We're in the same boat as you. Our work is mission work. And if you don't give to mission work, we can't do our work. But Paul in this passage was looking for prayers. Pray on my behalf as I go to these areas, these unengaged, unreached people groups, be praying for me. Pray, you know, for the situation I run into in different churches as I'm going to different places. He had a lot of persecution, Paul did. A lot of the Jews that opposed him. He needed lots of prayer. And even then, he still got whipped and beat and all kinds, went through a lot of hardships for the gospel's sake. But people in churches all around that region were praying for Paul, and he was asking for prayer. And so as missionaries with the IMB, we're always asking for prayers as well. So praying for one another. We can't do it alone. Paul knew that he could not do it alone. He admitted he wanted to be helped by the church in Rome to carry out the mission. We are the same. Missionaries today need help as well. We can't do it alone. IMB missionaries, as I said, how many churches are in the Southern Baptist Convention? How many? You guys remember I said? 47,000, yeah. 47,000 churches. And so we're looking to those churches. We share in a lot. I mean, we don't share at 47,000, but we share maybe in hundreds. And then we go to the state conventions. There's hundreds of churches there. We share with hundreds of churches every year to pray, give, go, and send. For churches to be praying for the mission work, the missionaries, to give to missions, Lottie Moon Christmas Fund, Muladi, Chengdang Jay Feng Xian, you give during that time. We talk to young people, hey, what are you giving your lives to? A lot of you are in college at UVA or getting ready to go to UVA or in high school. What are you giving your life to? Give at least 2 years to mission work. If you're a member of this church, you can become a journeyman and be a 2-year missionary. Go. And then send. We encourage pastors and leaders, send people from your church to the IMB as missionaries. If you're a Southern Baptist, you don't have to raise support. Like, I'm actually not going to ask you guys to give me money or Rose money. We just say, please give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. From that offering, we usually raise $200 million every year. And from that, we support 3,500 missionaries that work in 155 countries around the world. So if you just give to that one fund, you support Rose and I, and you support 3,500 missionaries from all over America that go to around the world preaching the gospel. So yeah, so the church needs to help the missionaries and help the missions to go forth in the world. We're going to look at some few key verses now and a few biblical and practical examples of churches helping missionaries. So first we're going to look at the Antioch church at Acts. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. This is the Antioch church and how they commissioned and sent out missionaries to preach the gospel in all around the world, in different places where they were going at that time. So look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read just verses 2 and 3. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke and said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they, the church, the leaders, laid their hands on them and sent them off. So here we see in the early church, they were fasting, praying, commissioning, laying their hands out, and sending out Paul and Barnabas. And these guys were going out on the first missionary journey. These are some of the first missionaries, Christian missionaries, Jidu Tu, the Chuang Jiao Shi, going out and preaching the gospel into areas that had never heard. They were taking the gospel to the Gentiles, non-Jews, who didn't know about the Old Testament. They didn't know the stories of Jesus, and they were going out preaching the gospel, raising, you know, discipling people and starting new churches. And Antioch actually was one of the churches that was started for some of these journeys. So actually it was, I think, a second journey. But yeah, I think I got that wrong. But it was one of the missionary journeys, the important ones that were going out during this time, Paul and Barnabas. And so they went out preaching the gospel and sharing it to those who hadn't heard. A few weeks ago, the IMB, this is an article in our website, the International Mission Board website, new IMB missionaries, part of history as they prepare for long-term service. So this is one of our new IMB missionary couples. I think that evening we had how many? I don't remember how many. There were maybe 60 or 80. But there was about 60 or 80 people. A lot of them were couples together. But they were going out, and so we were in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. Anybody been to Charleston, South Carolina? Very beautiful out there. It's right by the ocean. I think the Civil War started there. But anyhow, so that's in the church. It was an evening service, and we had a special sending, commissioning service to send out these missionaries, not just this couple, but, you know, 60 others would come up. They would say their names. If they could, for security reasons, they would say, you know, or if they can't say what country they're going to for security reasons, they would say, but they'd get up and say, hey, I'm going to Japan. You know, we're Jeff and Rose Wallagora. We, you know, they'd share their names, where they're going, and we prayed for them. And it was just a wonderful service. We call it a sending service, or you could say commissioning service, where the IMB is commissioning, sending these missionaries to the world. And we do this kind of service like this all around America at different Baptist churches. We did it here at this church back in the fall. We were here back in the fall in this church on the big side there, the big chapel area, sending out missionaries from this church to around the world to preach the gospel, commissioning, laying hands, and sending them out, just like they did in the book of Acts. We're doing that today. Hasn't changed. We're commissioning and sending out missionaries to the world. Another practical example, look in Philippians. These are verses Rose read already. In Philippians chapter 4. Let's turn a few more chapters. Philippians chapter 4. The Philippian church supported Paul financially. So as I said, you know, missionaries, you know, we can't just like go out there and do whatever, you know. We need the church to support us financially. I said, The IMB raises how much money every year through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? Do you guys remember? How much money do we raise every year through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? It's a big amount. $200 million. Who here has $200 million in your pocket or in your bank account? Maybe a few crazy rich Asians might have $200 million in their bank. I don't. But there might be some. But that money is from 47,000 churches. 47,000 churches. This church, I'm sure, gets probably like 100,000 or so. Not this Chinese church, but the bigger English church. Maybe altogether you give 100,000 a year to that fund that helps support missionaries like Rose and I. And so Paul, in his time, needed money to go out. It says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. In verses 15 and 16, it reads there, I love that passage. It says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, so they just became Christians, they just like started a church, when I sent out from Macedonia, when Paul went out to preach the gospel in other areas, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. Nobody was supporting him, not one church, but, it says, except you only. The church in Philippi, the Philippian church, supported Paul in the early days of when they became a church, and then they were sending Paul out, they continued to give him money and help him get the gospel out. So hopefully you guys are giving to missions somehow. Like if you're not giving it to the church, maybe you're supporting friends who are missionaries. If you're not, and you're making lots of money, hopefully you're tithing, but you should be tithing to the church, and you should be helping missions. That's what Christians do. Christians support missions and missionaries. Without money, we can't do the work. So if you're not going to go yourself, support missionaries and missions who do the work, and work together. So if anybody wants to know how to give the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, talk to Pastor Carter. Or your pastor will know. But yeah, so for us, this is our son. This is our son. Our son is 21 now. Anybody like the Spiders, University of Richmond? Any Spiders here? You guys are all like Cavaliers, right? Everybody's a Cavalier or a Ram. VCU Ram, yeah. Well, my son is a Spider now. He's 21, and he's a University of Richmond Spider. He's a junior. He's 21 years old. He's a junior. But this is him when he was 10 at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University Hospital. And he's hooked up to all this stuff as a little 10-year-old. He came down with leukemia, Bai Shui Ai Zhen. He had leukemia, cancer of the blood, at the age of 10. And so we had to leave China. We were in China for 20 years. He got leukemia. We came back. The next day, we found out he was sick. We flew on a plane, came back to Virginia, lived in Virginia for 4 years while he got treatment. Leukemia is not easy to treat. Now, he's cured now. He's 21. He's real strong. You guys know him. 6 feet tall. He's a big guy, half Asian. He's part of, what's the group? OCIF? OICF. What's the group called here? GCF, he's really active. He's on the football team with the flag football. He just hurt his finger yesterday. But that's him when he was 10, and he had leukemia. We had to come back to America from China. We had no house here, nowhere to live. We left our house, and our two older kids in China had to fly back here to get him help at VCU Hospital. They immediately started him on chemo and all kinds of drugs. He was taking 18 pills a day. Steroids and all these different things. It was terrible. But the church, we didn't have a lot of money. But thank God we had good insurance, but we had different Christians giving us money left and right. Fellow missionaries giving us $2,000 to help him. Our church in Grove Avenue Baptist Church in Richmond gave us a check for $10,000. Biggest gift we ever got. $10,000. Iwan Meijin gave us $10,000 to help. Like, again, we had no house, nothing. And so a lot of Christians helped us. We're missionaries. We're poor. We don't have a lot of money. We didn't have a house. We didn't have a car. People were loaning us cars. This brother here, Orlando, helped one of our missionaries that graduated from our training center. Orlando's dad loaned a car to our missionary for 1 month because they didn't have a car. So missionaries sometimes need cars, we need money, and we need help, especially when people get sick. So you need to be helping. Here's another. Pastor Carter said, Rose and I graduated with our PhDs. How many here pay tuition to go to UVA or something? Is it cheap, tuition? By the time you pay tuition, room and board, and other fees, what is it per year at UVA? If you don't get a scholarship, about, chabadour, 40,000, 30,000? University of Richmond is $72,000 a year. Qi Wan Liang Chen Mei Jin Yi Nian. That's for room and board, tuition, all of that. $72,000. To get our PhDs together, the two of us, we, as missionaries, we make $36,000 a year. San Wan Liu Chen Mei Jin Yi Nian. Only me. She makes zero as missionaries. So as a couple, we make $36,000 in 1 year as a missionary. We need help financially. You need to be giving, helping missionaries. So for us to do our PhDs, we graduated together in California at Biola University, a Talbot Seminary out there. We graduated with our PhDs last. We had donors, nice Christian people from Hong Kong. They're from Hong Kong. They gave us probably like $20,000, $30,000 over 10 years to help us with our tuition. So we had fellow Christians. Our church, Grace Chinese Baptist Church, gave us a few thousand. Our church back in Michigan gave us a few thousand. We didn't have money for tuition. When you make $36,000 a year and have three kids, you don't make much money. It goes fast. And so the Lord used other Christians from churches, individual friends, and they supported us. And they still actually support our ministry. They just gave us $2,000 recently to help us with our ministry to reach out to the Chinese of Singapore and things we're doing in America. So people give and help missionaries all the time. And the last verse we're going to look at, the church in Thessalonica. And again, these are all new churches. These aren't established. This church, this big building, has been here how long? How many years has this church been here, this building? Well, Lottie Moon was a missionary in the 1860s or 1870s. So this church is, oh goodness, over 100 years. 120 maybe? This church has been around, this building, this First Baptist, this church has been around here over 100 years. And so these are new churches in Philippi, in Rome, in Thessalonica. These are new churches helping out. And I love this passage. Now we're not talking about money. We're not talking about prayers. We're talking about sending missionaries out to help others. It says here, the church in Thessalonica sent Timothy to support Paul, who was ministering in Corinth. So Paul's out there ministering. He needs some help. Not money, not prayers. He needs people. So they sent Timothy, this young Christian guy, young, vibrant, some, you know, like UVA students, strong, tall, you know, sent him out, Timothy, to go help Paul with his ministry, to support, encourage him. 1 Thessalonians verse 3, verse 6 says, but now that Timothy has come, this is Paul writing to the church, has come to us from you, you sent him, and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. He gave a report how the church is, that you remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. And then you go on, that later, you know, there was a letters Paul wrote to Timothy, and I mean, Timothy was a great support and encouragement to Paul. So this is where we see the church, the early church, sending out other missionaries or mission teams, short-term mission teams, long-term missionaries, to help the teams that are out there. And so with the IMB, we have lots of missionaries. Like Rose and I are joining a team in Singapore, one couple. They've been there 5 years by themselves. They have four daughters. The youngest daughter has spina bifida. Can't walk. She's in this wheelchair. She like lays on the ground. You know, she can't get around. There's one couple doing all the work in Singapore. We're joining that team. And so we're hoping we'll be an encouragement to the team leader, the wife, the children, the four girls that they have. We're there to encourage and help with all the Chinese work. The team leader doesn't speak Chinese. He speaks Malaysian. He speaks Bahasa Indonesian, which is similar to Malay. But we'll be the guys that speak Mandarin, helping the 75% of the Chinese in Singapore. So we're going to help the team. We're going to help the team leader. We're going to go out there and help them. Similar to Timothy going to help Paul with his ministry in Corinth, we're going to Singapore to help Thomas and Julie with their work that they're doing in Singapore. And short-term mission teams, who knows this guy here? Why don't you stand up? Here he is right there, Pastor Carter. There's Bill from our church in Richmond. This is one of the girls. There's you guys may know them. They're very popular in our church. There's our son who had... You saw I was a little 10-year-old, now he's a big, tall guy. There's Rose and me. That was our mission team that went out last summer to help our missionaries. They requested teams to come out and help during the Paris Olympics. So last year, did any of you watch the Olympics on TV? Gymnastics, track and field, soccer, football. I mean, we were there during the Olympics preaching the gospel. We saw over 130-some people come to Christ. We were working with Chinese churches in Paris, reaching Chinese and people from all over the world. And the request came from a missionary couple with the IMB. He's white and his wife is Korean-American, like Rose and I. And they requested teams to come and help them to share the gospel and help these Chinese churches be more missional. And so we worked with the churches and helped them do lots of mission work. And we had one story that was really fun. We went to Rose and some of the ladies went out to preach the gospel with these Chinese ladies and a few guys. And there's this drunk French guy was kind of like causing trouble at their table. You know, they were giving out free water and tracts and Bibles. And some drunk French guy came over and giving them trouble. So then one of the ladies saw the police come by and flagged down the police. And it was a Vietnamese French guy and another, was it a black guy? African French guy, police. They came and helped, got the French drunk guy out of there. And then one of our missionaries witnessed and shared the gospel with the police. The French police guy who was Vietnamese gave him a pin. We were giving out these pins that's on his bag, sharing the gospel, all, you know, different colors. He's got a pin right there on his bag. Yeah, we were giving out these pins to everybody we met in Paris that talked about the different colors. And each color represents, you can share the gospel with it. The, you know, white represents the your sins are forgiven. The red represents the blood of Christ. Black means your sin. Green means a new life. So we were giving these out and sharing the gospel with hundreds and hundreds of people, helping our missionaries who live in Paris so they could do mission work and help them, encourage them, and get the gospel out. So God is calling us. And if you've never been, raise your hand if you've been part of a short-term mission trip. If you haven't been on a short-term mission trip, you should go on one. It changes your life, and you can help the missionaries on the field for maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, a summer, you know, whatever you can time you can afford. But yeah, so that's really what I wanted to share today, that these scriptures that we just looked at in the New Testament show the importance of the church's role in supporting missionaries. It's a partnership. It's not just for the missionaries. Churches can pray, give, go, and send. And as the body of Christ, all of us Christians in the church, we are called to partner together to spread the gospel. The Great Commission is not just for missionaries. It's for anybody. If you say you're a Christian, the Great Commission is for you to take the gospel to the nations, to the lost. You can do it here. In Charlottesville, you can do it throughout Virginia, you can do it in America, you can do it back home in China, where your family, some of your family are still there. You can do it around the world. But it's our job as Christians to work together to take the gospel throughout the earth. So thank you so much, and it's great to be here with you guys in Charlottesville.